Our text today is taken from the epistle reading for the day. We hear these words of St. Paul to the Ephesians. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the man in today's gospel lesson was born blind. He has known only darkness. He has never seen the light. Like any other affliction, it's part of sin's curse on the world. There are no supports for the disabled in first century Judea, so there's very little that this man can do. In fact, he's helpless. Insult to injury, he's now used as Exhibit A in a bad argument. And even the disciples fall for it. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In other words, what has he done to deserve this? What makes him worse than most that he would suffer this affliction? Or maybe it was his parents. What makes them especially evil that their son could not see? Jesus tells them that it's the wrong question, built on the wrong assumptions. Neither the man nor his parents are particularly sinful over and above the rest of mankind. And in fact, Jesus will use the man's blindness to demonstrate his mercy and work, the merciful work of God. He spits to make mud, puts it on the man's eyes, and sends him off to wash in the pool of Siloam. When the man washes off his face, he can see. For the first time in his life, he's no longer in darkness. Now he walks in light. And so Jesus has set him free from blindness, from darkness. And here is a question I pose for you. For what has Jesus set him free? Part of the answer to that seems obvious. Jesus has not set him free for all sorts of sinful living. He hasn't healed the man so that he can start an international crime syndicate or spend the nights carousing at local gentlemen's clubs. He hasn't given the man sight so that he can see his way into drunkenness, immorality, theft, murder, or any other sin. Jesus hasn't just given light to his eyes, but to his soul. In setting him free from blindness, he has also set him free from sin, free not to sin. That part seems obvious enough, but maybe less obvious. Jesus hasn't restored his sight so that he can be a Pharisee either. While the man is set free to live a life in keeping with the commandments, he is never to glory in his works or think that they make him righteous. This is what the Pharisees buzzing as angry hornets. They despise Jesus because he keeps teaching the people that people are saved by his grace and mercy, not by their obedience. They summon the once blind man to interrogate him, and his answers only infuriate them even more. In summary, he says, "I didn't do anything to earn his healing. He didn't make me promise to do anything in the future. He simply came and healed me." And since a sinner can't do something like that, he must be from God. So what happens to the man born blind? We don't know. Maybe he goes on to do some heroic things in the eyes of man. Maybe he gets married, has a couple of kids, and lives out his days in a small town. What we do know is this. Once he walked in darkness of body and soul, now because of Jesus, he walks in light. Walk as children of light. That's how our epistle begins. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Those are the words of St. Paul. You see, you and I were born blind, not in body perhaps, but in soul. You were born apart from the light of the world, apart from Jesus and his grace for you. And we need to take care to define what this blindness really is. It is unbelief. It is lack of faith in Jesus. It is being unforgiven. We need to define this carefully because by nature we'll define it incorrectly, dangerously. You see, the temptation is to define this darkness, this blindness, as what happens to those who ignore consequences and engage in sin. Think of those who sacrifice their families, blind to the pain that they cause, to pursue a lover or the next rung on the corporate ladder. Think of those who return to an addiction over and over again. They ought to know better, but they can't see the light and they return to their misery. Is this darkness? Sure. But it's not the darkness to which Paul refers. Even many non-Christians would label such people as blind, as in the dark. But here's the danger. If we define darkness as doing the wrong and harmful thing, then we define light as doing the right and beneficial thing. If the one who abandons his family lives in darkness, then the one who stays with his family lives in light. If the one who falls prey to drunkenness is blind, then the one with self-control can see. Right? Well, wrong. Again, this is not the darkness to which St. Paul in our epistle refers. The darkness is being and living unforgiven, apart from Jesus, the light of the world. You see, it's true that unrepentant adulterers stand condemned before God for their sin. But it's also true that unbelieving virgins do. Impenitent drunkards face God's wrath, but so do those who never touch a drop of liquor, but never saw the need for Jesus. On the other hand, the repentant adulterer or the drunkard is forgiven. Jesus says so himself in speaking to the well-behaved Pharisees. He says, "Truly I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes will go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him." That doesn't make sense to the unbelieving world. I guarantee the popular opinion says that Christianity is all about morality, about keeping commandments. If you quote Jesus' words to the Pharisees, it won't make sense to those who don't believe, because they're in darkness. So walk as children of light. Walk as those for whom Christ Jesus has died. By his grace, in the light that he gives, discern what is pleasing to him. And what is most pleasing to the Lord? Well, above all, the Lord is pleased to forgive you. He delights to give you his grace in his word and spirit. Jesus doesn't die on the cross to inspire you to behave better. He died on the cross to take away your sins. If you live a life that attempts to follow God's commands but remain unforgiven, then you're lost and you're not pleasing to God. God is pleased with penitence, with broken and contrite hearts. God delights to forgive you. And so to walk as a child of light means most of all to live as a penitent Christian. It means to confess your sins and receive Jesus' forgiveness. It means that you remain the humble blind man of the gospel lesson, always rejoicing that it is Jesus who gave you your sight. That's what it means to walk in the light. And as you walk in light, you will bear the fruit of light. Satan will run this gospel proclamation through the grinder and feed it to your old sinful nature. Old Adam will hear this and he will say, well, if walking as a child of light means being forgiven, then I can just go ahead and do anything I want to do. I can live any way I want as long as I keep getting that grace. But you know better. You know that Jesus sets you free from sin, not to sin. You know that as one forgiven, you're set free to live as God would have you live. Christ is the vine and you are the branch. Because he has joined you to him, you can now bear good fruit. And by his grace, you can resist temptation and do what is good and right and true. But your old Adam, your old Eve still lurks. Paul issues this warning. He says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. As long as you're in this world, there will be dark recesses in your heart, dark corners in your mind. There are sins in which you indulge in secret, either behind the doors of your home or the curtains of your thoughts. There are sins you still battle and sometimes surrender to, which you would not want your spouse to know about, or your kids, or your parents, especially your pastor. If they were brought out into the light and you were exposed, you would be mortified, so shamed, and yet they remain. They remain either because you feel helpless against them, or because you think you can't live without them, or because you like them. And you've managed to compartmentalize your life into parts and persuaded yourself that you can hold on to that work of darkness and still walk in the light. It's okay, you think. You can live with it because nobody knows. But beware. It's not okay. Sin is not static. It keeps working to kill you. And a favorite trick is to get you to hold on to some sin and help you and to believe that you're totally forgiven. But beware, because your sin is not a secret. God already knows. He knows that he has given his son to redeem you from that sin. And to hold on to that sin is to spurn Jesus' priceless sacrifice for you. It is to cast offense at God. Not so harmless, is it? Do you feel helpless against the sins with which you struggle? Well, you're right. You are helpless. But Jesus is not. Certainly to walk as a child of the light is not to say, I can keep this sin. But neither is it to say, I can beat this on my own, by my own power. And thus I will show God that I am worthy of his love. You see, you cannot conquer sin. If you could, then Jesus would not have had to die for you. The truth is, you are helpless. I am helpless. But Jesus is not. Confess that sin. Confess your helplessness. You can be sure that the Lord has died for that sin too. And he promises to be your strength and your shield. You are a child of light. Walk as one. Be forgiven. Do you think that you can't live without a certain sin? It's the Stockholm syndrome of sinners, that we believe that to give up a sin is to give up life, when sin, in fact, brings only death. Your life might be different. And the old Adam will do its best to make it uncomfortable for a while, but that's only because our old Adam is dead. He hates light and grace. So don't be deceived. You can't hold on to a certain sin and live. Confess it. Be forgiven. Christ gives you forgiveness and faith and life. Old Adam will whisper that you can't live without it, but life and light are found in Jesus, who has conquered both sin and death for you. Maybe you resist because you like a certain sin. Don't wait until you dislike it. It will always be attractive to you. Trust God's word that says it is wrong. Believe him when he declares that it leads to death. Confess it and confess your attraction to it. Jesus has borne your sin. Stripped of all attraction, he has borne it to the cross. There's nothing likable about that burden, not anything attractive in death, but he has borne your sins to set you free. Free from sin, free from death, free from the delusion that sin is a good thing for you. You're set free. You are a child of light. Walk as a child of the light. Be forgiven for your sins. This is not a one-time episode. This is how life will always be in a sinful world. Sin will plague you in one form or another, sometimes the same sin again and again during your life. And where that sin plagues again and again, confess it again. Christ has died for all your sins, not just the first time it attacks you. So the proclamation is sure. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You were born dead in sin, blind in sin. You were born in darkness. But Christ, the light of the world, has brought his light to you. He has died on the cross to give you salvation, and he delivers his grace to you in his word and sacraments. By his grace and faith and work, you are a child of the light. By his grace and faith and work, you are indeed forgiven all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.